Welcome to the Cycling Matters podcast, your weekly dose of discussions about our love for bike.
Bike!
Yay! So this podcast is brought to you in cooperation with Ciclo. Hello, I'm Karen.
I'm Jan.
I'm Brian.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about how the pandemic has made the push for inclusive transport more pressing and why bikes have to lead the way into the future. We talk about how the world is embracing the bicycle, what could it mean for the future of travel, and how the bike might save us.
Yeah.
But before everything else, do subscribe to the Cycling Matters podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast platforms. We release new episodes every Monday. Just search Cycling Matters, tap subscribe or follow, and enjoy the discussion. So in one of our previous live episodes, we talked to Anton C., urban planner of passive transport, about what they're doing in passive transport and how important it is to take action. And sometime after, we also published an article about the new normal and why it's crucial to prepare for it. So in that article, Jan discusses how different countries are adapting to people's needs.
Yeah, you know how it's a bit awkward, no, that we're in this position where we suddenly have an opportunity to be talking about this and people are actually listening to what a lot of people, even before us, diba? Mayroong mga cycling organizations, advocacy groups who have been doing this for 30 years, 40 years, but now people are starting to actually talk about it. And I guess it's important to recognize that, no, na we aren't here to be talking about the new normal na parang, oh, we're so happy COVID happened. That's definitely not the case.
No, we are not happy.
It's just that now with the new reality that we're facing, we actually have a better opportunity to improve things. So since you mentioned the article that we published, you know, we came out with last week, I was trying to discuss in that article why the new normal would require a reclamation of space, right? Why it's important for us to rethink and reimagine how we use our space, especially in a city and an urban environment where space is a limited resource, where it's finite, and we're all, you know, nag-aagawan tayo ng space eh. So first, I guess we need to talk about why bikes are important. No? Why now? Why are we talking about how it will save us? And I think the first thing is accessibility. People have feet. Everyone has feet. And if we're talking about being fair to people, I think it's...
Hold on. Not everyone.
Not everyone. Sorry. Okay. The majority... Oh, my God.
Like... Ableism.
Ableism. Okay. I guess what I'm trying to say is more people have feet than they have wheels.
Yes.
Okay. Or I think more importantly, you don't need feet necessarily to ride a bike. Oh, not a bike, a cycle of some sort. Then. Yeah.
Okay, actually, well, to explain, I guess, where I was coming from. People keep saying, right, that not when we try to push for cycling, people keep saying, why would you push for biking? Not everyone can ride a bike. That's not for everyone. But then we've built cities, entire cities, for cars when not everyone can drive. And in fact, the study of the Japan, I forget the acronym, but JICA, diba?
With International Cooperation Agency.
Sorry, thank you, Brian. The study of JICA and DOTR, back then, DOTC, mentions that only 12% of households have a car. And the data is very straightforward about accessibility. I think the next thing, diba, that we also mentioned is that it's important now because social distancing is something that we're really trying to maintain. And it's crucial to our survival and how we can get past this entire thing. And I think Brian did share something about this trope of family vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that we kind of inherited this idea of the family vehicle from, I guess American culture to a large extent, where we are so used to the idea, or at least dreaming about the idea of having a car for your family. Mm-hmm. Tapos usually it's in the driver's seat, mom is in the passenger seat, and then kids are in the back seat. But I don't know, I can imagine lang maybe a cultural shift where we could imagine something better than that, right? Like, what if families go around on bikes? Like, what if dad has a bike, mom has a bike, and then kids have bikes and travel together? Or I was thinking, I think when we were talking about this earlier, we were saying it could be a rite of passage into adulthood when your children move on from being passengers on a cargo bike and they start riding their own bikes, and suddenly big girl ka na or big boy ka na, and you can ride your own bike. But it's just our ideas about how a family should travel are so far from something like that, which is, by the way, the normal in many places in the world. No?
Yeah, that's true. As in, even the rite of passage, like into being an adult, like getting your driver's license, or or like saving up for your first car, or being given your first car, it's something that people really like treat as a milestone. But mm-hmm. then there's an issue of accessibility, because not everyone can afford a car. But then that's also what, like, I guess sometimes middle class people strive for, because they feel like, you know, status symbol, and that's like a measure of success, like having a car. So.
That's right. As a matter of fact, it seems like bikes are left behind in our society when you go into adulthood. Parang
right,
hindi ka na mag-bike or something.
Like pang bata lang siya to some people, right?
Pang bata or pang mahirap. Oh. Parang may ganun tayong dressing mentality.
If you're even allowed to have a bike at all, because when I was younger, I was very sheltered, so I didn't even get past the whole training wheels thing. I only learned how to ride a bike when I was 18.
So it's interesting what we've just been talking about this social distancing. Kasi parang you'd think that social distancing will lessen our ability to interact with people, right? We can't be near them. But with bikes and how bikes will play a role in transportation, it might be the opposite. Transportation, traveling with your family in this case, might actually become something that we look forward to rather than something that we dread. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this because as someone who comes from a family na may our family business is mainly in transport, so school bus business. I've been in a car more in my life than at home. And I always dread being in a car. Like, I'm always either asleep or doing something. Like, we always try to think of how we'll entertain ourselves in the car, right? Oh, I'll bring my iPod or my iPhone, I'll bring music, I'll play games. And suddenly, with bikes, maybe there's a chance for us to be more, to make it more fun, make traveling more fun. Missing Brian.
Yeah, but I guess in the meantime, yeah, I agree with you, because I mean, well, being you're a passenger now is a very passive activity,
right.
And I don't know. I think sometimes people might think like, oh, baka stressful yung cycling, but when you actually try it, it's actually fun. Like, as in, I don't remember. I'm not sure if it was like a study or something like that. I just remember seeing a graph online of like, do you miss your commute? And the people who miss their commutes are cyclists and pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also know that people, like a lot of people in cars, tend to complain about their commute. Because I mean, it's frustrating, and I don't know, like I personally don't. I guess ever since like I had the option of going like on a bike, it was a lot better for me. As in, I do miss my bike commutes even.
Me too, yeah.
Even the whole like patintero with the cars. But,
all right, the filtering, I missed
that. Because it's sometimes like a point of pride for me that, like I got past them even though they were honking at me. But Well, yeah, sorry. Like, yeah, I really miss being outside, like passing the scenery. But it's like an active sort of meditation in a way. Like, I don't know, and you don't necessarily always get that when you're in a car. I mean, sometimes like you can, you know, drift into thought when you're in a car, but then because of the traffic, particularly in Metro Manila, it's pretty insane. Like, you get really impatient.
Yeah, I think another thing, you know, is just drawing, going a bit farther from cars, because mm-hmm. we're not car haters, right?
We just don't like car dependency.
The other thing about social distancing and why bikes are important for social distancing is on last May 11, was it May 11 or May 12? The Senate Committee on Public Services had a hearing discussing how they would resume public transportation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was okay. The departments were mostly reporting about the sanitation measures that they would do and use. But the biggest point there that I think medyo nagkaroon sila ng dead end on how they would deal with the fact that everything in public transport will have less than 50% capacity because of social distancing, right? And they were just trying to think, and they were just at a loss of, and then they had no idea na ano bang gagawin natin dyan? Paulit-ulit yung tanong, what are we gonna do? Pipila lahat ng tao sa labas ng LRT or MRT, yung mga buses natin kulang, and then hindi rin sila magkakasya dahil nga mag-social distancing. And cycling just, you know, is that solution to that problem. We have so much space formerly allotted for cars, and we can make better use of it.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because unfortunately, a lot of our lawmakers, a lot of our congressmen, they are those who are in cars, like they drive cars, they're driven in cars. So maybe it's difficult for them to imagine a world outside their four wheelers, which I really hope that like our senators, congressmen can do, because you know, as Jan said earlier, only 12% of households actually own a car, and you know, there are millions of Filipinos who don't have a car, who rely on public transport or even cycling, and cycling isn't, you know, just like a leisurely activity or something na pang mahirap. It's something that can truly like save us from this transport crisis.
The funny thing is, you don't even need to actually ride a bike to come up with good bike policy. I mean, you could just be consultative in your approach and actually talk to cyclists and people who are on the street. And so much of the time, not only do they not ride bikes, they also don't bother with consultations, proper consultations.
Yeah, exactly. It's really telling of like how, I guess, they make policies. Like, because I don't know, there's this whole community like of people who bike, and even people who are in government who bike and who are actually pretty vocal online, but how much of like their like input do these lawmakers consider? Because like a lot of them like actually studied abroad, you know, like they, or not even just abroad, like they went to like maybe UP or something, the School of Urban Planning and all of that, or was that like they have the knowledge and they also have the on the ground experience of like with cycling, but then why does it happen that like when we do get bike lanes or bike infrastructure or bike policy, it's so out of touch with what is actually needed by those who bike?
In my opinion, you know, basing on what I saw during that hearing, I think the fence that they need to get over is this idea that all of these other modes of transport are alternatives. It's always that, okay, our only options are buses, cars, mga P2P and poor ano yun, mga I forget yung mga dating FX and then the trains, but then there are other dapat nga hindi na siya other, di ba? There's cycling, there's pedestrians, and walang sobrang unti yung times na na discuss yung how will pedestrians even get to those stations, how will those pedestrians get to the terminals when there's no, di ba, mawawala yung mga tricycles and all of those other options that are always deemed either alternatives or informal.
Yes, exactly. Like when I don't remember when they made the announcement of like expect 2-3 hours by yung boarding times train, and I was like, okay, that's boarding the train. That's not considering the time traveled or going from each station, like going to the station, going from the station to, because not everyone lives, not everyone works or lives near the train station because there are only so few train stations. So what about all of those in betweens, diba? So
yeah, I guess we can go to our next point. No, we've had the first one is accessibility and then social distancing. The next one is really physical exercise, and it's something that was already finally the government acknowledged that it's something that is necessary. And physical exercise doesn't only come as, you know, an improvement of your own well-being or something that is related to entertainment, diba? Just having something to do, but also more importantly, as protection for COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brian has more to say about this, but to me, diba, it just makes sense to be healthy and to stay healthy during a crisis where we're dealing with a pandemic. We can't have people who are just, you know, we can't all be just staying at home, being physically inactive. I'm describing myself. and then eventually, diba, we'll be more prone to flu and to the coronavirus.
No, you're right. I mean, I think that the narrow view of things is to think about flattening the curve as just limiting transmission by all means necessary. And you know, that's a good point to make.
Mm-hmm.
We have to limit transmission as much as we can. But limiting transmission also involves keeping our immune systems in tip-top shape.
That's right.
It also involves addressing other factors that make us unhealthy. For instance, a lot of Filipinos have diabetes, or a lot of Filipinos have heart conditions, which are conditions that get worse when you don't exercise, when you don't have regular physical activity. And flattening the curve isn't just about people going to medical facilities because they have COVID or COVID-like symptoms. No?
Mm-hmm.
It also includes preventing people from having to go to hospitals for their other conditions that get worse when they're not doing physical activity. And that's, it gets compounded from there, because if your heart suddenly has issues because you haven't been exercising, you go to a hospital, you suddenly put yourself in a position where you could get infected, because suddenly you're in a place where a lot of people are going because they have symptoms and so on and so forth. So I think a broader view is flattening the curve involves preventing our you know, conditions from getting too out of hand.
And yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I've been thinking a lot about this during quarantine. Because one of the things, like, I've been struggling with this, like, okay, what can I do to help, like, with, you know, flattening the curve, with dealing with the pandemic? And I guess I eventually came to the realization, I guess, through, you know, physical activity. I think one of the best things we can do individually is to stay healthy. And that means, like, eating well, getting enough sleep, and getting enough physical activity. Like, it might, because sometimes, like, I feel bad whenever I'm not able to work properly. Well, I mean, I know we're supposed to be kinder to ourselves, you know, given the pandemic. But then sometimes, like, I feel bad na, oh, I worked out, but I wasn't able to do work today. But then instead of like guilting myself na, oh, I worked out, but working out like helps improve my physical health. And I do feel physically healthy during this pandemic. And I think more than just like the individual responsibility of trying to stay as healthy as possible, I think it's important for our communities, our local government units, and the national government to enable like, you know, policy, our environment, to be able to have like for people to be able to engage in physical activity safely, like practicing physical distancing.
I think going back to that, no, in the new normal that everyone keeps trying to talk about, a bike really is a very accessible way to getting fitted, like, or at least not even fit, just healthy.
Yes.
I think that in some ways, running might be a little bit less accessible in, I mean, obviously it's cheaper to run and walk, but to some people, running can be more of a strain on the body. For instance, yes. You're a little bit too heavy. It might be too sudden for you to suddenly just go running. A bike is a wide range of physical stress, diba? Parang you could be going very hard, but if you're starting out, you could just be spinning, diba? Parang just going around, and that's already pretty good cardiovascular activity for someone who's just trying to get fit or healthy.
Yeah, that was the case for me actually when I started cycling, because when I started cycling, I came from a very sedentary lifestyle. I had been sedentary for how many years, and cycling was a really good way for me to transition back into being more physically active. And it was easy because, like, at least you have a machine to help you out. Like when you talked about running, like, yeah, because I don't like running. And it's really hard on my knees personally because I have, like, knees that are prone to injury. So I agree that, like, cycling, even before this whole pandemic, like, it's really helpful as, like, a sort of gateway to becoming more physically active. And it's also very integral because you can just be biking for errands, like, oh, I need to pick up groceries, I'll ride my bike. And it's also more efficient than walking, so you don't spend so much time walking, like, you bring your bike.
I think it goes to the heart of active transport, no? Parang you could be doing something worthwhile even as you're traveling, as opposed to just traveling for the sake of traveling. Parang the journey itself could be something that is of benefit to you physically and mental health wise.
It's really, I don't know, it's really starting to sound like the bike is the Swiss Army knife of in this entire, if they're calling this a war against COVID and they have guns, we have a Swiss Army knife.
That's right, know. Yeah.
And I think the last point I want to make, I think, is that the environment is something that the bikes can be helping out. I mean, to phrase it properly, if we bike, the reason why we should choose to bike now is because we're running out of time for the environment. Una, there's air pollution. This is already something that's, diba, as early as year 2000, we had the Clean Air Act, and that was our first move towards fixing the air pollution problem. And we've seen that it hasn't really, you know, been implemented that well. But now we're at a time and place where scientists have already told us to call it the climate emergency, the climate crisis. And that's because we're running out of time to fix it. And not only are we running out of time to fix the environment, we're also running away from COVID-19 because air pollution has been shown to aggravate COVID-19. And those areas, in the study, those areas with more air pollution have shown more deaths that are related to COVID-19, just because it also aggravates all of the other underlying conditions that make a person vulnerable, more vulnerable to COVID-19. Other than that, of course, there's the future sustainability of the world, diba? How are we going to move forward with an increasing population, diba? More people are trying to gain access to places where they can work. Like right now, people, the government still is going back to the idea of incentivizing people to leave Metro Manila because Metro Manila is too congested now and that's not sustainable. But there is a way to solve that. And if we could only accommodate this very simple and practical solution, then we could move forward and have a better environment. But of course, it's not that simple, right? When we say that the bicycle is a simple tool, it's not as creating infrastructure for it isn't as simple. Empathizing with people, with cyclists, with pedestrians isn't as simple. And I think that's something that we can discuss in our next segment of this episode, right?
Yeah. But
before that, we have our light topic.
Yeah.
For this episode. Although nawala si Brian.
But I guess we can just start on it. I think okay. Brian can follow. So
all right.
What are you going to talk about?
Right. So for our light topic, the idea is to our listeners know who aren't familiar, there is this magic formula that we always talk about as cyclists, and it's called N+1, meaning meaning N is the number of bikes you currently have, and then you always add one to it. That is the formula for how many bikes a person should have. N+1. But now, okay, new normal, new situation, we need to adapt. I present a new formula.
Ooh.
COVID-19 equals N+1. That is the formula. And the question is,
given your formula makes no sense.
It doesn't have to. I am not a math. Hold a math degree.
Ano yung mga 19 other than like COVID-2019, no?
Huh? Pwede rin, kasi December. But let's not overthink it. The question to the formula is, given the current circumstances, the new normal, how will you upgrade your bike?
Maybe Brian can start.
I think a lot of people I've been seeing online are upgrading their bikes, trying to make them more practical. In a sense, more utilitarian in a sense. And it's kind of exciting to imagine this new way of looking at the bike as integral to your lifestyle, parang bringing it into your life. Since I get first shot, definitely e-cargo bike. Like, I don't know, because I do groceries, but I don't do it with my bike because I buy a little bit too much. And the grocery store is a little bit too close for a bike anyway. It's a walking distance. So, if you could just get an e-cargo bike, suddenly you have a viable vehicle for a lot of groceries or even other things. You know? Like, I always wonder about people who buy SUVs. Kasi diba parang... From my experience, and I have to like have a disclaimer, this is purely anecdotal, but it for the most part, people who buy SUVs only use the SUV function maybe 2% of the time. Like, the rest of the time, they might as well just have a sedan or a subcompact car. But I think the e-cargo bike could be the actualization of the SUV. It's for hauling stuff. It's for doing your groceries. It's for bringing your date out. Parang susunduin mo siya, naka e-cargo bike ka. Tapos upo ka sa cargo bay. And I think this is cool kasi over the Christmas break, I think, from December 25 to January 1, if I remember correctly, there's this... group of women, yung Adventure Syndicate. And what they did was they rode cargo bikes, not even e-cargo bikes, from I forget where, but to Copenhagen. And I think it was 1,000-kilometer distance. And their entire idea was just to promote the idea that cargo bikes can work. As a matter of fact, the super cool novelty about it was apat silang babae, dalawang cargo bike. And what they did was the one who wasn't riding the bike was riding in the cargo bay of the bike. And they traveled so long and over, parang distances and elevation and all that. And And they made it just to show that it's very viable to travel distances on a cargo bike. What more if it's an e-cargo bike? Suddenly you're going everywhere. And I don't know.
And e-cargo bikes would also be good for elderly and those who have a difficult time, like, you know, walking or going around regularly.
That's right. Because ang tanong lagi is, how can I bring my Lola around if I don't have a car? And I think the answer is put your Lola in a cargo bike, on a cargo bike, parang, diba? And then drive her around. I mean, I think the bigger problem is your Lola shouldn't go out if she's prone to symptoms that are worsened by air pollution. So kung walang air pollution, you can take your Lola out and ride around, and it's just you and your Lola. Okay, I'm going to stop with my Lola.
Joyride with Lola.
Yeah. What about you, Karen? What's your, I'm going to say it, COVID-19 minus N no. plus.
No, it's COVID minus 19 is equal to N plus 1.
Yes.
That's what
I'm saying. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I think an e-cargo bike is a good idea, but I don't think I have the liquidity for that. I really don't have an intention of buying a new bike. I'm perfectly content with my road bike. And I guess because my road bike is kind of set up in a commuter way, like it has reflectors, it has a bell, which I used a lot before COVID-19. I guess what I'm just going to add, which is what I put in my cycling resolutions list, which is in another podcast episode if you want to check it out, is to buy a bike rack, because I really regret not buying before I left the Philippines. I was really planning to, but I was like, I can buy it after I come back. And then when I came back, I had to be quarantined. But yeah, because I definitely, like, when I'm able to go out, I want to be able to use my bike for errands, which I usually do anyway. But sometimes, like Brian, like going to the grocery, or when I go to my family, although I'm currently with my family, I bring my clothes for laundry, and that's hard to bring, like, without a bike rack. So yeah, I guess it's more of, for me, it's more of just upgrading my existing bike. And my bike is currently pretty commuter friendly.
With a bell.
With a what?
Bell.
With a bell.
Yes. Oh,
but I yabang mo about the bell. So.
Yeah. No, because I really use, because it's an inside joke that I'm kind of mahinhin when I shout, quotation mark shout. So I really rely a lot on the bell. Oh, but I, not really upgrading, but I really want to visit a bike mechanic and have my bike tuned up, because I'm not very good at those things. And I just worry that, I've cleaned my bike, but I don't know. I just hope my chain's okay. I hope everything's okay. So I will so the next chance I get, I will go to a bike mechanic.
Okay. Before I ask Jan, I have to give a little bit of credit here. Si Jan yung the original, I want a cargo bike guy.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to, when he said it to me the first time, I was like, shh. I'm not gonna get a cargo bike. It's parang why? Parang the idea is to get a faster and faster and faster bike.
Oh.
But I have to say, COVID-19 has kind of changed a little bit of how I look at things. So anyway, credit lang to Jan. He's the original cargo bike. So Jan,
I remember when I first sent you the photo of the cargo bike. For our listeners, we have this article on our website, cyclingmatters.ph, where we featured the customized cargo bike created by one of our friends. And we're hoping to invite him on the podcast soon. I've talked to him. Yeah. And I think when I sent that photo to you, and your first reaction was something like, you mean a carreton? Like a tricycle?
Brian!
I have to own up to when I'm wrong. So, I used to look down on cargo bikes because I couldn't get it. But I stand corrected. It's amazing. So parang, yeah, I mean, after seeing the Adventure Syndicate do it, after seeing cargo bikes being used for delivery, carrying heavy loads, parang, I have to say, I'm a convert and happy to say I was wrong about that. So yeah.
Thank you. I think it's amazing what the people in Denmark are doing. Of course, Denmark and Copenhagen, what they're doing with the cargo bikes. And the amount of money that's being invested by big companies, logistical companies like FedEx and UPS, they're really experimenting very aggressively on how they can transform entire fleets into cargo bikes. Just because not only are your employees, drivers more happy, they're also able to deliver products, deliver packages more quickly. They don't have to deal with so many traffic violation tickets and more stuff like that. Which I guess, since you took my answer, I would say I wouldn't be getting an e-cargo bike soon, also because of the same reasons as Karen. I'm not as liquid. I would probably get a regular cargo bike, no? Just because it's simple lang din, even if only ahon dito sa Mandaluyong. Okay naman eh, like when I tried the cargo bike with a basic, parang, I don't remember if it was Alveo or Deore group set, na parang 7 speed. It was enough to get me through my errand.
Alalay lang.
Oo, ganun tayo. Relax lang. Diba? Dala mo, safe lang tayo. Dala mo yung grocery mo. Diba? Di ka nagbayad ng parking. Happy na ako nun. But I guess, since that's not an original answer anymore, my next answer is not so original either. Yung other upgrades ko na lang is really to be more all-weather, be more prepared for all-weather riding. Since I'm using my road bike for commuting, I still want to get more better fenders, especially for my front tire, front wheel, and then more gear for more rain gear na mas ano, that will help me become more comfortable with really like, okay, rain or shine, I'm gonna get to work on a bike today. And sorry na lang, Grab, my money will stay in my wallet.
So aside from talking about how the bike is really needed now, no, I think one of the things we have to talk about are our concerns about how kanina we mentioned about politicians and how to a large extent talking about bike improvements, bike infra, it's kind of sexy, eh, diba? It's catchy. It's mabango pakinggan. But I feel like we have to be very careful during this very unique moment when bikes are very necessary to make sure that any changes that we're going to make to accommodate more bikes could be done in the best possible manner then, rather than make some potentially catastrophic mistakes or mistakes that could prevent us from actually embracing the bike. So I wanted to ask you guys about maybe first issues that we can see from our previous attempts at bike infrastructure pre-COVID. Like, what has the Philippines been doing? How has it done with respect to bike infra? And then maybe we can talk about the currently evolving discourse, very vibrant discourse on bike infra. No? And then maybe what are the results we can expect if we embrace bikes, if we let the bike save us, if we accept it as our savior to some extent. But let's start with the issues we can see from previous attempts at bike infra. Like, let's start with the good things. Good, not issues naman na masama, but good things that we've seen. Any infra projects that come to mind for you guys?
Usually one of the first places that comes to mind, like with the bike friendliness, I think Marikina is one of them. And I think a good thing about their bike lanes is that it's very interconnected, and it's actually a network of bike lanes.
And if you go to Marikina, like the middle area of Marikina, not the peripheral areas of Marikina where like Marcos people pass through there, but if you go to their market area, yung bayan area, you actually see that bikes are kind of part of their transport ideas. But, like, it's integrated. Like, they're parked outside houses. People are just riding their bikes everywhere. So parang you really see that without so much fanfare, if you put in the bike infra, it grows. Eh, right? Parang build it and people will ride. Will
and there's
ride bikes.
Also, you know, there's a higher, I think there's a higher number of bike stores in Marikina than in any other cities in Metro Manila. And I think that just speaks to the fact that talagang mas marami yung cyclists dun. We might sound like this, there's favoritism already, but of course we can't forget about Pasig and Iloilo. Pasig, they've had already their bike lanes in Ortigas area and as well as the yung mismong Kapasigan. And people are using them already. Iloilo as well is really doing their best in trying to become the bike capital of the Philippines, which is wow. And they're really showing it. So Iloilo, yung main bike lane and one of their major roads is really separated, and they've placed trees that are already growing there and that will in the future provide shade for people who will be riding through that cycleway. And that's really nice.
And then there's QC, of course, with the green line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it leaves a lot to be desired, I think. Pero I think we should acknowledge effort. Eh? Like parang, and we're not naman here to nitpick lang, but rather to say how things can be improved. And I think as long as there's a willingness to try to build something, I think it'll get there. But yeah, speaking of having lots to be desired, ano mga issue na nakikita niyo so far? Like, what are the issues that we see maybe that can be improved for those efforts that came before COVID-19? Like, historically, what do we see?
For quite a number of bike lanes, especially for me in QC, there are a lot of, and I hear Marikina rin, I'm not sure because I don't really bike there that much. There tend to be a lot of obstructions on the bike lanes, particularly for QC. When I would pass Kalayaan Avenue, there are always, sorry, calling out,
someone specific.
Always this police car on the bike lane. It's
ano yung plate number, Karen? Ano yung plate number?
Hindi ko maalala. Okay lang. But yeah, bike lanes tend to be obstructed, whether by, you know, cars or the bike lane was built. I don't know. I think there was, I'm not sure if it's in the scout area. I remember seeing in the cycling matters, like the challenge for in bike lanes.
Sometimes it's also obstructed by businesses. Like they put their signs there, they put an actual ihawan on the bike lane, and I've encountered that. Oh, so obstructions. I think another thing is that the bike lanes generally aren't respected yet. And I mean, by design, they aren't designed to be respected because they're just a lane. And for example, in Quezon City, when the lanes were put in place, they didn't even have the bicycle icon to signify that they're for bikes. So a lot of drivers were not sure what it was for. And I think, and it did change naman. Like, for example, in Katipunan, you'll see that drivers already respect it, but it could have been a more fluid, diba, a change in behavior. It could be more educational rather than cyclists just forcing their way through the lanes and then. Drivers realizing, okay, yun pala yung green lane na yun.
Except though for one thing, I noticed that cars respect the bike lane if they're moving.
Yes.
But if they have to pull over, they will pull over on the bike. And it's an extension of isang pa sa bangketa yung isang side ng kotse. Which is one of the most ridiculously inconsiderate things a motorist can do. Because if you analyze the behavior, nahihiya sila. They're really concerned about inconveniencing other cars.
Yeah.
To the point that they're going to put their car to inconvenience pedestrians.
Yeah.
Or
cyclists.
And yung problem doon is, okay, how do we calculate, how do we decide who to inconvenience? The thing is, when you're inconveniencing cars, there's no risk of a loss of life. You're not going to accidentally kill a cyclist by suddenly pulling over at the bike lane. And that's, I think we all have that common experience where suddenly a jeepney suddenly pulls over and it's just, you're just riding peacefully and then suddenly it flies in front of you and then just stops very abruptly.
There's nothing more dangerous in this situation than a car pulling over in front of a bike and the bike is suddenly forced to veer out, to veer out of the bike lane and into oncoming traffic. So parang if you're a car, if you're a motorist, you're driving a vehicle, if you inconvenience other cars, there's no risk to those cars, really. They see you. They're going to be slowed by you. But if you put it in a bike lane or if you put it on a sidewalk, you force pedestrians and cyclists to go out onto the street. And that is terrible. That's dangerous.
I agree.
So what about concerns about how we're talking about bike lanes? Because I have to say, it's mixed feelings for me. I'm excited about so many of the things we're talking about, building bike infrastructure. But there's a little bit of trepidation on my part. Like, may concerns ako. Like, I have worries about how it might be implemented, but also how we're talking about this. My first issue, I think foremost in my mind, is this idea that we see all the time, which is bikers, cyclists should only stay on bike lanes. So parang my worry is when we create bike lanes, suddenly we're going to entertain the discourse of, oh, I saw this cyclist, he wasn't riding on the bike lane and stuff, no? And that highlights that, diba, na parang there are issues that could pop up even as we build bike lanes. We have to be very careful about what people interpret bike lanes to be, to a large extent. Kayo, may mga iba ba kayong ganung concerns?
Yeah, okay, kasi it's important nga na, okay, we the bike lane places an allotment of space for cyclists, but I mean for cars, right? There are lanes for cars, but you see them on the sidewalk, you see them everywhere. Okay, so I guess in terms of just not having double standards, it just makes sense to have that mindset now. Okay, bikes should not be limited to just the bike lane. I'm also thinking though, in terms of creating all these infrastructure and all these bike lanes, diba, that we should be discussing the right types of bike lanes that need to be used in the various types of roads that we have. I mean, one major reservation of drivers or of people when we're talking about bike lanes is, do we even have space for it? Diba? And true, that is a concern. There are some narrow roads where it's just one lane or two lanes, and then we have wider roads where we can really allot a one lane or two lanes of protected bike lanes. But there's this part where we need to design the bike lanes and use the proper bike lanes for the proper utility. What am I saying? In other countries, they create bike highways that are for transport. Kung ano yung utility niya, it's for people who want to get to another place as fast as they could without using a motor vehicle. There are bike highways that are created for that. And I think in one example I saw in Shinair ni Brian is in Australia, the bike highway is actually kind of a few meters or several meters away. Parang it's parallel to the car, the highway for motorized vehicles. We can be also creating bike lanes for exercise or for casual traveling or tourism, diba? And that could perhaps not require the same amount of resources or the same level of security, since, for example, if it's a bike lane in a park, similar to the bike lane in UP, you know, where it works, even if there it's not a protected bike lane. And mayroon din yung double bikeways na Shinair, and nakikita rin natin, diba, na there's one bikeway for slow transport and another bikeway for speedy travel. Parang the point is, and this information is not just, you know, ideas. These information we can already find in urban design books, in urban design guidelines of some of the modern cities. And we just have to make sure we're choosing the right type of infrastructure or the setting.
I think your last second would be the idea of isisingit lang yung bike. Parang the idea of building, like for instance, one of the things that always pops up is an elevated bikeway,
yeah.
Which sounds kind of nice, but the idea of being able to be away from cars.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea of being away from cars can be achieved at grade, like
yes,
at the ground level without it. It just seems to me a lot like when you build pedestrian overpasses, people think that you're doing pedestrians a favor, but actually what you're doing is you're making them climb stairs.
Yeah, that's increased effort on their part, and even for cyclists. And it's funny thinking because people in cars, like, they just have to usually press the... What? Sorry, I don't drive.
The accelerator.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or whatever they use. Sorry. I don't try.
It's a button. It's actually a button, guys.
Yeah.
I know. You push. You with the foot. You
put it on the thing is, people think they're being nice to pedestrians and cyclists when they create these elevated places, but I didn't realize that when you create a overpass, you might be doubling the distance that person has to walk. But that's also preventing people like the elderly, pregnant people from being able to walk comfortably because now they have to, diba? Yung famous na Mount Everest overpass sa EDSA. How do you even cross that thing to MMDA, for perhaps, diba? In their best interest, they thought, okay, a lot of people are jaywalkers, so to speak. They have to cross the road illegally. So let's make this Mount Everest pedestrian crossing.
And I think, you know, it's a statement. When you move people and bikes out of the way of cars, you're making a statement that roads belong to cars. Mm-hmm. and people on bikes and people on the street, people who walk, have no business just walking in public spaces. And that's a terrible city to live in, diba? Parang yeah. To give up so much space, actually all the space, for a very small minority of road users, when it could be more, I guess, proportionate to who's using, who needs to use the space. No? So finally, I think we should wrap up by talking about what can we hope to gain. Because one of the things that I think we need to push as a message is, it's easy to say we want bike lanes, but we have to acknowledge that it has to come from somewhere. As Jan put it earlier, we have finite space, meaning if we're going to put bike infrastructure, it has to come.
Oh, no.
And the question is, what do we get out of that cost? What benefits do we get from that cost? Is it even worth it to invest in bike infrastructure?
Okay, so we have friends from hashtag Move As One Coalition. So it's a coalition of multiple organizations, advocacy groups, and also individuals who are pushing for reform in our public transport and how we need to change the public transport system moving forward. And they've put numbers to this whole thing. To them, according to their calculations, the cost is 110 billion pesos. They're asking for that budget to create three major things. 30 billion pesos, they want to allot for service contracts with buses and other PUVs to allow the public transport, public utility vehicles to operate for 6 months, given all the challenges, the limited capacity. And then we also need to put more vehicles on the road, right? More public utility vehicles on the road, just to be clear. Another is they're asking for 10 billion pesos for infrastructure, bike infrastructure, pedestrian infrastructure, also for bike lending programs. I think they're gunning for 100,000 bicycles to be lent, primarily to frontliners, and also bike racks, of course, because we need end of trip facilities. And the last major point of that in that 110 billion budget is 70 billion pesos for bus stops, bus only lanes, depots, and terminals. So that's a total of 110 billion pesos, the investment that they're asking for. And the benefit supposedly would be 373 billion pesos, which is almost four times of the investment. And this comes with the retained public transport jobs. The estimate is that we will get 34 billion pesos out of the retained jobs. There will also be 168 billion pesos worth of savings from time saved with traveling. There's also 78 billion pesos of avoided job losses of commuters. And here's the thing, for the drivers, we could save 12 billion pesos in fuel and vehicle operating costs by encouraging more people to bike.
And time saved pa lang, diba? Parang I think we all have our own stories about
And then there's also, of course, pollution reduction, 28 billion, and then 53 billion pesos worth of road accident reduction based on historical figures of how much we spend whenever there are road accidents on the road. So
it's not just the money, like it's you're saving actual lives. Like, I mean, I don't just think about like all the human lives that have been lost from all of these crashes and how we can like, I don't know, people guys, it's a human life. People live.
I think a good point to make is that when we ask the question, can we afford bike lanes? I think the question to ask is, can we afford not to have bike lanes? Like, parang, is that something that we can? Is this something that we can still ignore, going into the, moving on into whatever the new normal might look like?
I guess since I don't know, Karen also brought up that it's also about people. We've given the numbers because a lot of people ask the numbers, being able to afford it. Other than that, it's also proven that having increased cycling translates to increased business activity. More people are able to interact and actually stop for, something that they saw on the road. And also in a greater sense, it's possible for us to have a happier society by having more cyclists, just because, right? I mean, we're hardwired to have certain hormones, right? Okay, endorphins. Just imagine if that tayo ganun, parang when we by commuting, through exercising, through going on trips with your family, each time you're pedaling, you're already making yourself biologically happier and you're also having better social interactions with people. You're not spending so much time in traffic. And hopefully, if there are more people riding bikes than there are cars, then we would have less air pollution and we could appreciate our environment more. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, guys. That ends this episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, do subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you can find podcasts. Our episodes are the next best thing to riding your bike. Just search Cycling Matters on your favorite podcast platform while distressing. Put on some earphones and enjoy the discussion. Also, you can catch more of Cycling Matters on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, or on our website at cyclingmatters.ph. So thanks so much again for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Cycling Matters podcast. Until then, stay safe and ride safe, Philippines. Bye!